So the more I got into the scripture, the more I realized that I'm not preaching on the Trinity. I'm preaching on this scripture, which is Nicodemus, the one you heard. So please join me in prayer. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This yoga more regularly. I think I mentioned that than I do now. And there are these moments on my yoga mat where I mutter to myself, I used to be able to do this pose, and now I'm no longer able to do it. Never mind that it's been 6 years and my body has changed. Never mind that I took all that time off for seminary and to begin my new call here, and I've only gone back to it the last few months. But my head tells me that if I used to be able to do it, I should be able to do it again. So my head is saying one thing, but my body and my breath is saying a whole other thing. And when we get stuck in our heads or in the world of supposed to's, I should, then on a yoga mat, you can't open yourself up to the full expression of any given movement, because each movement carries you into the next. It's called a flow, and your breathing is deeply connected. You can't separate out your breath from the movement. And if you go into your head or into your ego and you try to muscle your way into a pose because you think you're supposed to be able to do it, that's a great way to injure yourself. So instead, the breath and the body know better. And to give in to where you are now is not a defeat. It's a letting go of what was in the past so that you can move into a new expression of that same movement. And maybe it's a gentler expression. Maybe it's a modified expression. But whatever it is, it's new and it's connected to breath, and eventually you go from that place to being born again into a full expression of what you're meant to be doing. And God, and specifically the Spirit, as we are in our second week of Pentecost, is constantly working to help us become the fullest expression of who we were born to be. And that's true whether as an individual or a church or even as a country, we cannot live into that becoming, into that growth, into that change or that expression if we are stuck on what it used to be. We can't go back to the good old days. And believe me, I'd love to go back to 1973. Ask Wayne. Every time I go to his house, all I want to do is talk on the phone that's on the wall with the long cord and give up all the cell phones and all the computers. But we can't go back because we're simply not who we used to be. We're more aware now, and we're more advanced, we're more educated, for better or for worse. And the reason I'm expounding on this metaphor is because of this morning's scripture. And here's this wonderful biblical character, Nicodemus. And he comes to Jesus in the night while it's still dark. And there are like 300 different interpretations of what this one phrase means from scholars, at night, in the dark. And some say it was because Nicodemus was afraid of what the others might say. Because when John was writing his gospel, there was a deep division in Judaism between those who were following Jesus as Son of God and those who were not. And so Nicodemus shows up at night out of fear, or out of fear of what others would say, or being ostracized, or fear of not following the societal norms, fear of being outcast. Now, another interpretation was that night and darkness is just a common metaphor for people who have not yet come to know Jesus Christ and to accept him and redeem themselves. So they say, oh no, it's not fear, it's just spiritual darkness. And so by now, if you've been paying attention, you know which side I'll end up on. Neither one, it's both. It's both. Because whenever we're living in fear of what others will say or do, we are in a spiritual darkness. We've all been there. What will they think? What will they say? But God's here to tell you where there's love, and where there's integrity, and where there's curiosity, what they think doesn't matter, because ultimately it's between you and God. But Nicodemus isn't there yet. And he's curious. He's curious enough to enter into conversation with Jesus, and skeptical maybe, and unsure, but he enters into the conversation without contention, just asking questions. Rabbi, he says, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. So Nicodemus is showing his hand. He's basing his curiosity in Jesus on the signs and the miracles and the healings that Jesus has performed. But Jesus answers in a way that takes us away from the earthly signs of healing and miracles and instead says this, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God. By the way, the kingdom of God, not heaven, it's here on earth. It's this wonderful place that we're all working towards. It's helping God to realize what Jesus Christ has started. So no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above, he says. And perhaps he's inferring here that people's belief in Jesus shouldn't depend on whether or not they've seen these signs, but rather to open themselves up to what God is doing now from above, that is the Holy Spirit. And Nicodemus takes him literally and says to him, how can anyone be born after having grown old? How can one enter into a second time into a mother's womb and be born? He's taking it literally. He says, this is one of those great pieces of dialogue that depends on delivery. Now, you could say it in a snarky way. Nicodemus could be saying, how can anyone be born from above? Or it could be that it's just misunderstanding. Hey, Jose, I think we can hear what you're listening to. I can hear it. So a little lower. Thank you. Misunderstandings can be a wonderful opportunity for growth. And Judith McDaniel in Feasting on the Word describes this particular misunderstanding between Nicodemus and Jesus as having a purpose. Now remember that, the next time you're misunderstanding what somebody says, don't see it as, just see it as an opportunity for a purpose for growth. And when we read the story, she suggests that this allows the reader to catch ourselves, to see the ways that we're stuck in a spiritual rut. Because to show up on Sundays, to speak prayers or scripture that we've memorized without thought, or to go through the motion of getting to church on Sunday and then forgetting God the rest of the week, or to be stuck in the place of, but this is how it's always been done. This is how I've always understood things. Jesus is doing a new thing, which makes the elders of the church nervous to see what God is doing now in us, in our church, or in the world. It requires we open ourselves up to being born from above and letting the old die and allowing God to take us into a new expression of who we can be now. And God does that, not us. And I'm seeing signs of this in our world. I hope you too. I hope you are also. This pendulum is swinging, and we will be better, and we will be stronger because of the chaos that we are experiencing now. Very truly I tell you, Jesus says, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. The world has its ways, its understandings, its beliefs, and we are part of that flesh, and we have our beliefs and the way we understand this world and the way things have worked in the past, so we hold on to them. Even when they've stopped working for us, we hold on to them because it used to work for us. And now it doesn't work. But rather than opening ourselves up to the Spirit and allowing for a new way that might work, we tend to muscle through because allowing something to be born requires a death of something that used to be. And that's the hard part, especially if it's having to let something that used to bring us joy die away. So at the beginning of every yoga session, the teacher invites us to exhale and let go of anything that no longer serves us, just for that hour. That as we are about to enter into that hour, to be present to that hour, something has to go. The worries of the day, the phone call that just made us mad, or the person that cuts us off in traffic, or the kid who won't return a phone call, or the spouse who is waiting a diagnosis, or even the self who is waiting a diagnosis. Because in that hour of flow and in that hour of breath that is the Holy Spirit, there is an opportunity to deepen one's experience and expression. And in our faith, the opportunity to deepen our relationship with the God who comes to us as Jesus Christ and Spirit from above requires that we let go of worldly attachments. Being born into this new life of trusting that God will carry us into a new thing and into a new creation. So we're works in progress. We grow. We become. We are born again and again. By the way, the Greek word for spirit, pneuma, is spirit. It can also be interpreted as breath. And so we become, we create. And if you're practicing your faith outside of worship, which I really hope you all are, I know you are, I know you are. But here's a great question that you can ask yourself. How am I stuck? What am I holding onto? What idea, what thought, what way of being that used to serve me? It's just no longer serving me anymore. Can I finally let it pass away and die? And grieve it and forgive it and then open myself up to the Spirit from above that I might be born again. Frederick Buechner, he wrote, if you tell me Christian commitment is a thing that has happened to you once and for all, like some kind of spiritual plastic surgery, I say, you're either pulling the wool over your own eyes or trying to pull it over mine. Every morning, you should wake up in your bed and ask yourself, can I believe it all again today? And if your answer is always yes, then you probably don't know what believing means. At least 5 times out of 10, the answer should be no, because the no is as important as the yes, maybe even more so. The no is what proves you're human in case you should ever doubt it. And then, if some morning the answer happens to be really yes, it should be a yes that's choked with confession and tears and great laughter. Not a beatific smile, but the laughter of wonderful incredulity. End quote. So in our Trinity, we baptize in the name of the Creator, and Christ the Redeemer. The Redeemer because Christ has come to recover all of humanity from our self-defeating ways that keep us stuck in a physically absorbed life. And then the third piece is Spirit, who we call the Sustainer. Because if Christ came once and for all, then the Spirit from above calls on us again and again and again to live into that new life. And Nicodemus, he's a perfect example of this being born again, because we see him two more times in the Gospel of John. The first time he comes with a question, the second time he shows up as part of the Sanhedrin that questions Jesus and he defends him, and then he shows up again, and probably most importantly at the cross, with spices and oils to anoint his body. So he has taken a journey, this work in progress, from spiritual darkness into sacred ritual. Now, it may not be a linear progression for all of us because we're a work in progress, but we've committed to taking that journey. And finally, Maya Angelou said this. She said, "I'm always amazed when people walk up and say to me, 'I'm a Christian,' and I think, 'Already? You already got it?'" And so I want to show you this wonderful video. As I remembered that quote, I found this video of Maya Angelou talking about this very thing and talking about being a work in progress. And she says, this is not a rehearsal. This is your life. And I would add that it lives in Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Let's watch the video.
Be proud, not haughty, but proud of what you've achieved. And see the future as your career, as your job. This is not a rehearsal. This is your life.
This is not a rehearsal. This is your life. And it lives in Jesus Christ, sustained by the Spirit, and born from again, from above, again and again. And all the people said, amen.